Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. As we head into the Thanksgiving holiday, there are several thousand Oklahoma residents wondering if this will be their last Thanksgiving here in the United States. Speaking about the young people covered under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, according to the Department of Homeland Security, Citizenship and Immigration Services data, around 800,000 young people nationally and over 12,000 here in Oklahoma are affected by the Trump administration's decision to phase out DACA 4 months from now. That phase out, 6 months after the September decision, has also meant that some young people have been able to renew for another 2 years. Others could be deported within a few months of the deadline. Today we hear from two DACA recipients. Janet Vasquez currently works as a parish secretary who was able to renew her DACA status, and from Jordan Mazariegos, president of Dream Act of Oklahoma, an accounting major at Oklahoma State University due to graduate in May, who already has job offers but is unable to renew due to the phase-out. Also joining us is Emma Thadani, the chair of Immigration Issues for ACTION, Allied Communities of Tulsa Inspiring Our Neighborhoods. It's a broad-based community organizing group in the city. They'll be holding an informational event next week to draw attention to stalled congressional action towards a fix for these young people who came to the United States as children. ACTION for Dreamers, Tulsans Speak Out on DACA, takes place Thursday, November 30th, a week from this Thursday, at 7 p.m. at St. Francis Xavier Church at 2515 East 1st Street. Janet Vasquez, Jordan Mazariegos, and Emma Thadani join me today on Studio Tulsa. Emma, Janet, and Jordan, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Since President Trump announced the six-month phase-out for ending the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, what has been the impact on people with DACA status? I have two here in the studio who have DACA status currently. What has been the impact in your life? Janet?
Well, the impact, the first day that I heard about it was just kind of like my future was put on pause. Without DACA, I can't do much here, and I'm pretty much here by myself. I came here with my grandpa when I was 7, and then he passed away when I was 16. So DACA's pretty much all I have to have a job, to have a driver's license, to live. So it was just kind of like, what do I do now?
Do you have family outside of the United States at this point?
I have family in Mexico. Like, my mom and all my people are in Mexico.
Yeah, but this is the country you know for the most part, right? I mean, this is the whole thing with all the people who have DACA status. This is your home, right?
Yeah, like I said, I've been here since I was 7, so, and I haven't really returned back to Mexico.
No, so you're working currently, and you're able to work. Mm-hmm. You were able to renew, correct?
Yes, I was.
So how does the renewal process go?
Usually it's like 6 months before your DACA expires. You turn in this paperwork. It's a huge packet that you just fill out. Every year is the same questions. You just have to answer them again. You have to pay around $500 every 2 years. Then you go for a biometric test.
Okay, you'll have to explain a biometric test.
Biometric test is just they take your fingerprints, your height, your weight, your eye color, like all your biometrics, and then they take your picture to put on the card. They do this every 2 years.
Yeah, and you were due to expire this coming December, and so you were able to renew for 2 years.
I was.
Now, Jordan, tell us your story. What has the impact been on you?
When I heard of the announcement on September 5th, I felt betrayed by this country. I felt that I was lied to, especially by the current president, after he had announced that he was going to deal with this issue, as in his words, with a big heart. And knowing that basically the values that America stands for, to fight, to be here, that if you work hard enough, you'll be able to achieve your dreams, your goals, and, you know, playing by the rules, doing everything how I'm quote-unquote supposed to, going to school, doing well, abiding, and having, you know, to turn in all of my information to trust in a government that has said that they will give me this opportunity, just to later turn around and take it all away. So it stung a little bit to hear that announcement, and especially now where I'm at a point in life where I am about to graduate from college and have accepted a job offer that is set to begin next year in the summer, where and when my work permit expires next year in October. So it's a it's a bit of an uncertainty in my life and a moment where I am beginning to lose trust in the current administration and analyzing perhaps other options, maybe not here in this country.
Now, when did you come to the United States?
I was 2 years old.
2 years old. So this is the only country you've ever known.
Right.
I should mention you're at Oklahoma State University. You're finishing up a degree, and you already, as you mentioned, you have a job offer. And tentatively, I guess you could take that job, but in the fall, you would have to leave that job if that job offer still holds, given the political situation with the DREAM Act and DACA and all the legislation that's out there if nothing passes.
Right. So theoretically, I would begin my job in the summer, and if no action is taken and if a renewal is not permitted, then by October, it will be my last month of legally working.
How common is this in our community, Emma?
We don't know exactly how many DACA recipients there are here in the Tulsa area, but we think it could be about 2,000. And in the country as a whole, it's about 800,000 DACA recipients who are in this state of limbo right now. And then here in Oklahoma, it's about 6,000 to 7,000 here in the state. So it's definitely affecting a lot of people.
Do you think that all of the people who are eligible to apply for DACA actually did? Because I think I'm hearing what Jordan is talking about, this sense of betrayal. I remember when DACA first came in, there were a lot of people saying, you know, with apprehension, do I submit all this information, giving the uncertain future, knowing that at some point this information could use to deport me, basically.
Right. Well, I don't want to speak for DACA recipients. I know that here in Tulsa, there were a lot of opportunities for people to renew, and actually there were some scholarships granted for that as well through different philanthropic organizations. So I think there were a lot of opportunities given for this deadline. I'm not sure the exact number who actually renewed or participated in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a matter of just when your status was granted under DACA, whether you're able to renew for 2 years and hopefully wait out the political turmoil that surrounds this issue. You have one that you were due to end in December, Janet. So you were able to renew because it's within the 6 month period. Jordan, yours doesn't renew till October. And that puts you outside that 6 month window. It seems very arbitrary.
Right. And I think another thing that I do want to mention to address one of the points that you mentioned is the fact that, yes, I did understand that DACA was a temporary fix to the issue as a whole. That's a risk that I took knowingly. But I also have come to learned and understand that that's sometimes what you have to do in life, is to take risks in order to reach the goals that you want to reach and be the person who you want to become. And so with DACA, if it wasn't because of DACA, I wouldn't be in a situation where I'd be graduating in the next 6 months. And I don't regret applying for DACA. In fact, it has benefited me, my family, my community. And if I knew this decision was going to be announced, I would have still applied for DACA in 2012 and probably even try to speed up my graduation. but it doesn't change the fact that I still would have taken the risk, because at the end of the day, I still believe that being a person who just wants to be happy and successful and provide for my family is the most important thing.
Yeah, and like we were, well, I know for me, I was willing to like do this every 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't matter that I had to fill out a huge packet with the same questions over and over, go take this biometric test, have them like run my fingerprints, like he said, like stay at a good ground where you didn't do anything illegal, because if you did, you weren't like able to renew. And so I was willing to do this every 2 years for the rest of my life if that was what kept me here.
Now, one of the things that's happened with the Trump administration is we've heard that people, even with DACA status, have been detained, in some cases deported. Have we heard of instances in Oklahoma, and how has that affected you? I mean, as far as just the fear.
I personally haven't came across any stories that here in Oklahoma that have cases that have, in which cases have occurred, but I have read about them, and it becomes arbitrary. I know one of the reasons why I was reading was a demonstration that some Dreamers took of being too close to the border and happened to be on the other side, or in which I remember quite well the situation in which a dreamer spoke out for on behalf of her family. And because she was out of status, because she was waiting on her application to come in and her approval to come in, during that lapse period, ICE took advantage of that opportunity to apprehend her right after she was outspoken about the situation.
That's ICE's Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the other thing that's been going on is this huge, I don't know if it's just bureaucratic backlog of getting the status approved or if it's really sort of just being slow rolled. What are you hearing, Emma?
I just heard on the radio today some folks who had tried to apply for their renewal and they had mailed it in advance and then were stuck because it hadn't actually been posted by the post office. There was some bureaucratic hold up, like you said, and their application was denied because they actually, by the time it got to the office, it was the following day from when it was actually due. So I think, like you said, it's just such an arbitrary deadline. And that's the reason that we're focusing on this so much is that it's left people in this complete confusion of what do we do, what's the best course to take, and it seems completely unfair that we are throwing people into this situation.
Now, Jordan, you also run an organization called Dream Act Oklahoma. What are you hearing from your colleagues in that organization?
There's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear, especially with people whose work permit is set to expire right after March, and the fact that they'll be falling out of status much sooner. And with the deadline of March 5th and the legislative days that are left in Congress, it leaves little time to know, to feel that there will be a solution by that deadline. And so basically right now what we're doing is we're calling we're urging our supporters, our listeners to call our senators and representatives and to push for a clean DREAM Act, which means that we want legislation that is inclusive of undocumented immigrants, that does not create more enforcement, and a bill that is not going to have other additions that essentially that are not related to immigration. So that's the message that we're pushing out.
My guests today are Jordan Mazariegos, who is a recipient of DACA. He's been unable to renew because his renewal date comes after the March deadline. Janet Vasquez, who was able to renew for 2 more years. They're both participants in the DACA program. Jordan is also the president of DREAM Act Oklahoma. And Emma Thadani, who is the chair of Immigration Issues for Action, which is the Allied Commission, Communities in Tulsa. I'm going to lose the acronym. What is the acronym?
Allied Communities of Tulsa, Inspiring Our Neighborhoods. You're close. Yes. Almost at it.
Right. And they'll be sponsoring an event called Tulsa and Speak Out on DACA Thursday, November 30th at 7 o'clock at St. Francis Xavier Church at basically just off of First and Lewis at 2515 East First. And they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. In the days right after President Trump announced this 6-month phase out, there were a lot of congressmen and senators talking about, yes, we're going to do something about this. But then came the attempts to repeal Obamacare. And then right after this, all this talk about the tax cut. And that seems to be the only thing Washington is talking about. Has this gone to the back burner at this point?
That's actually part of the reason that we picked November 30th for this event. So when we heard about President Trump's decision to rescind DACA in September, we realized if nothing's happened by November 30th, we've got to start putting more pressure on our legislators because it may have fallen to the back burner. So yes, I think to an extent that it has. I think the good thing is there is a lot of movement. There are a lot of bills that have been considered. People are wanting to support some kind of legislation, but it's not clear that that's going to happen in time for this deadline.
Yeah. Now, Jordan was talking about a DREAM Act, which that's different than some of the new proposals that are out there. You're talking about the original DREAM Act, right?
Right. So the DREAM Act has been introduced several times. It was first introduced in the early 2000s, and it's been revised since then. And yes, there are other bills, even including one co-sponsored by Senator James Lankford, called the Succeed Act. And so there are various other pieces of legislation that have been introduced. And as an organization of DREAM Act Oklahoma, we support a clean DREAM Act. And as I mentioned before, a Clean Dream Act is not one that makes us sign our own deportation order, one that is inclusive, one that does not create more immigration enforcement and that targets our community.
Now, does the Dream Act, as I understand it, it is more of a comprehensive immigration reform, correct?
Pretty much. There are five main bills that have been proposed right now. Four of those do include some kind of pathway to citizenship. One of them is the Bridge Act, and that does not. That's basically an extension of DACA, as far as I understand it, so a temporary status. But the other four bills have some form of pathway to citizenship, but again, different time frames.
Yeah,
involved.
And who qualifies is also different,
that's different.
Right? I mean, there are some that include more than, are there ones that include more than childhood arrivals?
Or
they
the
all,
Hope Act
yeah,
is a little is probably the most generous of the bills, I would say, but they're slightly different. They have minor differences.
Well, let's talk a little about the SUCCEED Act, because that seemed to have the most Republican support on Capitol Hill. And that, again, was, as you mentioned, Senator Lankford was a co-sponsor along with Senators Tillis and Hatch. The SUCCEED Act, boy, it seems like it is an awful long time, because it's 10 years to the point where you can get a green card. Mm-hmm. Then you can get the green card and then take a path to citizenship. What's in the SUCCEED Act?
So, again, it does have a pathway to citizenship. And actually, the DREAM Act, I believe, is about 13 years as a pathway as well. So it is within that range. But there are some additional things that make it problematic. So it does contain, as Jordan was mentioning earlier, people who are applying for it are, in a sense, having to sign away their ability to question any. If they are deported, they're basically signing away that right to challenge their deportation proceedings, as far as I understand. Is that right, Jordan?
Yes. So if you do not meet the requirements, and if you fail to meet the requirements listed above, then you essentially are, will be signing, essentially you're saying, well, if I don't qualify, I can't be here.
And so under SUCCEED, if you do the paperwork involved with this, obviously you're basically not challenging any deportation action if for some reason you run afoul of one of the provisions or one of the requirements. And what are the requirements?
It's continuous work, I believe, for 38 out of 52 weeks, I believe that's the number.
So if you were to get laid off in this job you have and say there's a downturn in the accounting, maybe we get the flat tax and everybody puts their taxes on a postcard, you might find yourself out of work. That would make you in danger of failing the provisions, right?
Right. So that's one provision. The other would be to graduate from college, which I would essentially, it's either one or the other. So
I think there's also a military provision too, where you join the military.
Mm-hmm. There is a military
and
provision.
That's again true of most of the bills. Again, the HOPE Act is the exception where it doesn't actually have those requirements, but most of the bills have some form of those three requirements. Mm-hmm. Just again, some are more stringent than others.
Right.
And as written right now, the SUCCEED Act doesn't have a hardship provision, whereas some of the other bills do.
You know, and I think there's probably a widespread perception that if you were undocumented, joining the military was the way to sort of jumpstart, you know, your legalization status. I think there's probably a widespread perception. I think at one point I actually thought that was actually the case, but that is not the case.
No, when I was in high school, I actually did want to go into the military, and I tried applying for it. I had a recruiter that helped me all through my senior year to, like, get fit and, like, pass the physical and everything, and then at the end of the year I was supposed to apply for it. But since I'm light-skinned, they didn't even question me being any other race. And so once I was filling out the paperwork, they realized that I was, like, undocumented and from Mexico. And they said I couldn't join. They said that if I have my residency, they can help me get my citizenship. But they can't take me in just like that to get my residency.
Yeah. And I know there's about 800 or 900 DACA recipients in the military. They're also in sort of a limbo situation because those under DACA were able to join the military if they had special skills, and many of them do, because it's not just Latinos and Mexicans under the DACA. It's people from South Asia. It's people from East Asia. It's people from all over the world that are participating in DACA, and they have critical skills, and they were promised, join the military, do something very dangerous, and in 3 years you get, you know, green-lighted for a green card and expedited citizenship. They're in a world of hurt.
Right.
I mean, because all that status has been thrown out the window, correct?
As far as I understand, yeah. I mean, everyone is in this period of uncertainty right now, which is, again, why it's so important to get something to happen within the next few months before this deadline.
So ACTION, this is a community project basically looking at a wide variety of issues. Now, you have not taken a specific position on this, right? You're just, this is more of an information gathering.
Yes, we're sharing information about the different bills. We haven't taken a stand on a specific piece of legislation in the way that DREAM Act has. We know that whatever passes is going to be some form of compromise. So ACTION's approach has been a little bit different. We're saying that these are the things that we want to prioritize. So we want the bill needs to have some kind of pathway to citizenship, needs to preserve due process rights of those seeking its protections, and it also needs to ensure that it's not demonizing the broader undocumented community. So whatever piece of legislation that's passed, that's what we're pushing for, is for it to meet those three requirements.
I'm interested in that last requirement. Yeah. I really feel that that's a pretty hard thing, because I think whatever passes, if something passes, I don't see a whole lot of sympathy in the American public, and certainly from the American political public, about doing something about the larger immigration program.
Right. And so, and again, this event is specifically focused on DACA because we know that that's the pressing issue. But of course, we all know that really what needs to happen is broader immigration reform eventually. But right now, this is the urgent issue. So focusing on how do we ensure those protections for current DACA recipients without then harming others in that population, in the undocumented population.
So what's going to happen on Thursday, November 30th? What's going to happen at this event?
So we'll have an opportunity to hear stories like the ones that we've heard today from DACA recipients in the Tulsa area. We'll do a little bit of education on the different bills. And then a big piece of it, too, will be asking public officials to commit to helping us in this fight. So we're asking them to take a stand on protecting DACA and using their political capital to help advocate for legislation. Another thing that we've done is we have commitment cards that we're sending out to all our member institutions. So it's about 23 institutions in the Tulsa area, to encourage even more people to contact their senators and representatives. So really just showing that Tulsa is committed to doing something about DACA.
So what's been the response from the congressional delegation? We know that Senator Lankford has signed on as a co-sponsor of the SUCCEED Act. Mm-hmm. So we know where he stands. What about Senator Inhofe and the rest of the congressional delegation? Have we heard anything from them?
We have not had any success meeting with them yet.
Right. Even none of them?
No.
I want to ask both of you, Janet and Jordan, for those, there are a number of Americans who've been hearing about this, and I think when the issue is explained to them, it seems to touch a fundamental question of fairness. But for those who haven't really thought about it, what would you like to say to those folks about why finding a solution to DACA is important?
I know that when this came out, I was very surprised that a lot of people did take a stand for it. They didn't quite understand it, but they're like, it's wrong. And they try to get more information on it.
You mean the idea that here you are, you've lived all your life in the United States. You came here because a family member brought you at a very young age.
Yeah, and they were also very, like, intrigued with the process. That's every 2 years you have to renew. You can't do anything illegal. And, like, they're like, why would they want to do that to these people? And so they looked it up more. And I know I had a lot of support come in and, like, tell me, like, hey, we're here for you. Like, we don't know where you're at. But then at the same time, I went to research that afternoon. And, like, I was, like, bawling my eyes out, like, just kind of going there, getting my groceries, and there's people just going on about their life, and I'm like, all these people don't know that, like, this has just crushed a whole bunch of people. Like, we don't know where our future stands right now. So I think to them, a lady stopped me, and she's all like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. And then I tried to explain to her. I told her, well, like, the DACA process, like, just, like, I eliminated today, and, like, there's this limbo process, and I'm not really sure where I stand, because I had just sent my papers in August. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I did it right before all of this happened, so I don't even know if that's going to be approved or not. Like, at that point, I was still in limbo, and I was just like, I don't know if it's approved. And so I was kind of trying to explain it to her, and you could tell that she was just like,
going right over her head.
It just went right over her head, like, what? What is this? Yeah. And like I said, it was a complete stranger, so I didn't, like, stay there and, like, tell her the whole process. But I know that, like I said, a lot of them are interested and want to know more information. So to these people, I would just say, like, go to, like, our thing, like, on Thursday, the 30th, to get more information on it, so then they can see where they want to stand.
Yeah. And Jordan, what would you say?
I think in the political environment that we live today, there is a negative perception about people who are undocumented and people who have DACA. The first thing that I do want to say to, especially to the listeners, is to first let you all know that DACA is not a taxpayer-funded program. It is a program that we pay for every 2 years out of our own funds. It is a program that has allowed us to gain that opportunity to work legally. You know, they claim to that we undocumented immigrants don't pay taxes, but now here we are working legally and more than likely paying taxes. And it's a desire for us to succeed, to have that same opportunity for the American dream, quote unquote, to succeed here and have a better life. And I believe that if any individual who wants to have a better life is a contributing member to society and is making their community a better place to live. And so I think that at the end of the day, we have more in common with the American public than they think that we do. And we want similar things. We want the safety. We want the best education for our family, for our children. We want to increase our style of living. And so it's an issue, I think, that should be seen as a way to make our cities, our communities, our states a better place to live. And I want to do it the right way. I want to be here. But I understand that if things don't go the way everything is going, you know, I know that I have gained a set of skills that I can take with me anywhere. And when people talk about patriotism and loving your country, I ask the American public to define American. Because if American is just being born here and not having that desire to be here and to wanting to succeed here, then what I want to challenge that thought, because American is not just simply because you're born in the United States. I think that American is upholding those values that we believe in, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness.
All right.
Yeah, and then I would just like to add along to what he was saying, that I know that, like I said earlier, just because I'm light-skinned, like, I just kind of get, like, overseen, and they don't know that. Before I moved to Tulsa, I worked at a jail with a lot of Republican men and women who are very strong about their presidents, and they're very Trump supporters. But I made a video, and I put it on Facebook just of how I was feeling after all this happened. And a lot of them messaged me, and they were like, oh, like, I didn't even know that you were, like, that kind of person, like, and I was like, well, you knew I was Mexican, and that was pretty much it, and they found that out later. But a lot of them, even though being super Trump supporters, they're like, oh, no, like, everybody else can go but you, like, and, like, I know you, and you belong here, and what I told them is, if you knew these individuals, you feel the same about them, mm-hmm. too. It's just that you didn't put me in that box, so you accepted me first, got to know me, and then you loved me. But if I would have been brown or, like, any other color, you wouldn't even given me a chance to get to know me. So, like, it's just get to know the person. We are all people.
You can learn more Thursday, November 30th at 7 o'clock at the St. Francis Xavier Church, Action for Dreamers, Tulsan Speak Out on DACA. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Janet Vasquez and Jordan Mazariegos are both DACA recipients here in the Tulsa area. Emmett Thadani is the chair of Immigration Issues for Action. Action will be sponsoring a informational forum, Action for Dreamers, Tulsan Speak Out on DACA, Thursday evening, a week from this Thursday, November 30th at 7 o'clock at St. Francis Xavier Church at 2515 East 1st Street. For more information about Action and the event, visit actiontulsa.nationbuilder.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.